reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient ones and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is King, He is robed in majesty. The Lord is King, He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is King in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord and girt about with strength.
The Lord is King, He is robed in majesty.
And He has made the world firm, not to be moved. Your throne stands firm from of old. From everlasting you are, O Lord.
The Lord is King, He is robed in majesty.
Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days.
The Lord is King, He is robed in majesty.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father. To him be glory in God forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
How worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To him be glory and power forever and ever.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here. So Pilate said to him, "Then you are king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Perhaps as children, some of us recall playing games outside. Like, for instance, I know my brothers and I, when we would have dirt delivered to fill in the land on the property, we would play the King of the Hill. And we'd try, whoever would get up there, the key was to keep everybody else down, to push them down. And you can say, "I'm the king. I'm the King of the Hill." As children, maybe we've had the experience of playing games like that or daydreaming, talking about being king or queen of the entire world, everybody being under our control. Maybe as we grow older as adults, we think about, well, if I was in control, if I had the power, I'd do this and I'd do that. But as we celebrate today, the feast of the true King of the universe, Jesus the Christ, his kingship and kingdom, however, very different from our worldly understanding of kings and queens of this earth, as Jesus is being questioned by Pontius Pilate in the Passion narrative according to John's Gospel today. "Are you the King of the Jews?" And of course, Jesus wants to really know from him. He's trying to elicit from him because he's always seeking opportunities to draw someone into the truth. "Are you asking this of your own, or has someone told you about me?" Well, you hear how Pontius Pilate responds flippant. "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own people have turned you over to me. What's going on here? What are they saying? What's going on? Why are you here?" And of course, then Jesus goes on to say to him, his kingdom is not here. It's not of this world. It does not belong to this world. But in so doing, Jesus is not saying that the kingdom is not present in this world. As we, as a local archdiocese, continue in this year dedicated to St. Joseph and also a year of a Eucharist for our archdiocese, we are invited to contemplate the significance of the communion rite of the Holy Mass, which is introduced by the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, a prayer that most of us memorize from the time we are children. It is the Word of God given to us from the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, in response to the request of the disciples. "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And when Jesus responded to the request, he wasn't just giving them words to memorize. He was doing far more than that. For in teaching them how to pray, as the eternal Word of God, as the wisdom of God incarnate, Jesus was revealing how we are to approach God, how we are to speak to God. "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, our Father.'" We never pray to God as my Father, but as our Father. Jesus, the only Son of God, came in obedience to the Father to realize his holy will, which is to do what? Set this creation in right order again. And he would do it in a most unbelievable manner, in a manner that no one expected. Nobody expected the promised king of the great Messiah of God to come and suffer as Jesus did. The main thought was he would be and establishing his kingdom on this earth. He would reign and he would reestablish Israel as superior to all other nations, and every other nation would bow down. That was the main school of thought, but it was not the only school of thought. It was not the only revelation of God relative to the Messiah's reign and how he would come. There was also a Messiah who would be a suffering servant leader. We hear of it in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And it's that one that Jesus embodies and reveals to the world. His kingdom is a kingdom of love, of mercy, of life and justice and compassion. It's a kingdom that puts down the ills and the injustices of the world. He does not impose. He invites and he proposes. And those who willingly embrace and accept his invitation, his offer, become grafted in, if you will. Subjects, but not subjects in a servile manner. We become the elect in Christ. And there it is in baptism. Just as Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king, coming up out of the waters, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, priest, prophet, and king. Every single person baptized receives the anointing after baptism with the sweet oil of chrism. And the words are spoken, just as Jesus, as Christ, was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you now share and be one now who is given the promise and the privilege of inheriting that reality and living in that truth. Now, when Jesus teaches us this prayer, he goes on to teach us to have an eye towards the reality of the future, but staying grounded in the present. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Echoing the sentiments of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. We pray for that to be manifested, to be realized in our own hearts, in every corner of this world. We look to see the end of death and sin once and for all. That's something that is yet to be fully realized. But we see it prefigured in Jesus, who in dying destroyed death and rising restored life. His whole coming forth from the grave and presenting himself as alive in a glorified manner for 40 days following his death on the cross is in itself a confirmation. And then assuming his mother Mary into heaven, body and soul, is to confirm for us God is not playing games. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and he effects what he says, because the word of God is a creative word. Unlike our words, which are descriptive, we can only speak in terms of descriptors. God speaks, and it is. Jesus proves this, and he proved it time and time again as he was establishing the reign of God through his words, through his mighty deeds, the signs and wonders so numerous. John concludes his gospel by saying there are not enough books on this earth. If they were to attempt to write down everything Jesus said and did, there would not be enough books on this earth to contain them. So as we come into the liturgy, as we prepare ourselves for the Holy Communion, we begin to see why the Our Father, known as a prayer, the prayer that is given to us, is the prayer par excellence. Every single petition, every desire that you could hope for from God is captured in this prayer. St. Augustine remarks that when you pray the Our Father, it's like washing your face. It's like washing one's face before coming into the presence or being at that moment of encounter to receive the Lord under the veil of the sacramental signs of the bread and the wine. He says it's a moment of refreshment, a moment of clarity, of encounter. But it cannot be truly received unless one be properly disposed in the heart. Hence the words, the petition of the prayer. And then what follows? The great doxology. A great doxology that concludes by saying, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." This emanates from the history of the Hebrew people, First Chronicles chapters 29 and verse 10 and 29 verse 11. David, the great king, also speaks in a doxology type of blessing of God and praise of God. For thine is the kingdom forever and ever. But for you and I, we say the kingdom is now and forever, here and forever. We recognize God's kingdom present in Jesus, in his word proclaimed, in the sacrament given, in the body of believers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus. And then, with all of that, the priest then inviting the people, speaking the words that Jesus, reminding us of what he spoke at the Last Supper, Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. And we say, amen. So be it. A peace that this world cannot give, a peace that enables us to put aside our differences, to put aside how we've been hurt, to petition God in those prayers, in that prayer of the Our Father, and to approach in the sign, because then the priest invites, let us now share with one another the sign of peace. The kiss of peace is referred to in the scriptures, always a sign of hospitality, of respecting one another as a human being to another human being, created to God's image and likeness. Remember how Jesus had to rebuke or correct Simon the Pharisee as the woman was there, crying copious tears to such an extent that she was able to literally wash the Lord's feet. And Simon and the other group that was there with him in the house, they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How is this man? He doesn't know what kind of woman this is touching him. Surely if he were a prophet, he would know. And then Jesus says, Simon, do you see this woman here? From the time she entered this house, she has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to wipe them with her hair. You never offered me a basin with water with which to wash my feet. You never offered me any oil to refresh myself from the sun. This woman here is anointing me with oils. Wow, everybody was stunned to hear it. But yet Jesus, speaking from the heart, reveals the heart. And just as he says that then, he says it to us now. In every Holy Mass, we enter into the mystery of a kingdom that is now, but yet to be revealed in its fullness. And one of the keys for us experiencing it is here and now time. To be effective in reigning and in establishing that reign to go forth with us and through us, among us, is to be faithful to these gatherings as we are. To thank God, to pray to God, for this is the source of our power. He knows, and we ought to know by now, without him, we can do nothing. You know the words he's spoken to us already. I'm the vine. You are the branches. My Father is the vine grower. Apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father prunes every fruitful branch. Everyone that doesn't produce, they're cut off. So we, in this Holy Mass, as we move towards the prayer of the Our Father, the prayer that Jesus teaches, he teaches us how to pray with the heart of God, with the mind of God, with a receptivity that is ordered towards giving, not so much taking, but giving. That which you have received as a gift, give as a gift. Who of us in here cannot stand to experience the grace that we need to have a peace that allows us to endure the trials and tribulations of our lives, to unburden our hearts from things that we have no control over, or that we can't take away, but God can, if we choose. So many things, so many challenges, and yet today on this great solemnity, we are invited to approach the altar where our God feeds us with the super substantial bread that nurtures us in our physical bodies, but gives our souls what is necessary to live forever. As St. Ignatius of Antioch calls it, it is the medicine of immortality. Peace, he says, is my gift to you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it. We pray in thanksgiving to God with a renewed attention to this prayer par excellence, known as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, there will be fun on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it doesn't say that, but a child said that in the hearing of their grandmother. She says, Father, I was tickled, but then I allowed that term to continue in light of what I know the prayer to be. Thy kingdom come, there will be fun on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread. We pray for that today. We ask the Lord to give us the grace that we need, not to save the bread that's meant for today, for tomorrow. Tomorrow will come, and God will provide, as he always does. We seize the present moment and look with joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In that anticipation, in that light, we receive the peace that he alone gives, coupled with the sustenance that enables us to persevere through this constantly changing world, which is passing away. God love you.